Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is coming, from the seven spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. We're meditating on those two verses I read before from Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you, we hope. Amen. In the name of Christ our King, dear fellow citizens of heaven, do you find it mind-boggling how quickly your best intentions can mess things up? When you think you have it all figured out, you got it all set. There were two young men waiting for a cement truck to pour the cement for their first foundation. 20 minutes before the truck gets there, one says to the other, "We got to cut those bands at the base of our forms. Otherwise, we won't be able to get the forms out." Anybody that's done any cement work knows how ridiculous that is. You cut the bands, and sure enough, the cement into the forms blows the bottom of the forms out. Kind truck driver went to the next job and didn't charge for that one. But that was one of those times, the only one I remember in my life, when I said to my older brother, "Next time you hear a stupid idea like that from me, don't listen to me." Do you ever just stop and thank God that he's in charge of your life? I mean, every time you do something that, you know, you walk into a room, "Why did I come in here?" It happens when you're a lot younger than you might think, right? "And what was it that I had in mind here? And Mom, Dad, I forget." All right. Who doesn't forget anything except your sins? Think about that. God, who is in charge of your life, can see the end from the beginning. He knows where everything is headed. He is Christ our King, the Alpha and the Omega, the A to Z, and everything in between. He not only predicts history, it's his story to guide and bless as he wills. He will bring about all of history for the sake of his body, the church, you who belong to him by virtue of your baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He put his name on you. You are his own. Thank God that he's in charge of your life. Thank God that he says we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When God says all, he means all. All things. And even the worst tragedies, he can turn into blessings because that's what he does. That's where he really shines in glory. And when you, in the midst of your trials, can just stop and say, "Thank you, God," that's true worship. Not when everything's going well. True worship. Praise the Lord. How much of what I just said would be acceptable to most people in the world today or yesterday or any time in history? Right? I mean, this is not the way human beings want to think of themselves. Really? Need help from God? We'll just deny he even exists. We'll just say everything happened by chance, even though we know nothing around us happens by chance. We'll just say that's how it all came about so that we don't have to have a creator, then we don't have to worry about judgment day. None of this makes any sense to my mind, and I can't see it. I can't quantify it, and you can't prove it either. So therefore, you shouldn't believe it. I don't know how ridiculous is that. You can't prove that the lights are going to work when you flip the switch. Can't prove that your car is going to start when you start the engine. It's they're so stuck on their own intelligence that they're actually believing that if given enough power, and some of the strangest companies are actually advertising this now, if given enough power, they can control the climate. The God who destroyed the world in the flood the first time around told Noah when he got off the ark, as long as the earth endures, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, cold and heat will not fail from the earth. You couldn't destroy it if you tried, and you can't keep it going any longer than the Lord has determined that when Christ comes again, Christ the King, at that trumpet sound, that's when it is. That moment, God knows. So what are you supposed to do when you're up against it out there? Not everybody gets to work where there's mostly Christians. So you have to go out there in the real world, and you've got people that throw this in your face and say, prove the Bible is true. And don't even realize what a stupid thing that is, because that's like asking a five-year-old to prove a spaceship or jet fighters. Prove it. Knowledge flows the other direction, especially the things that we can't see in the spirit world. It has to come from God and be revealed from Him. Otherwise, people are just making it up. So counterculture Christians, counterculture, will always be in the Word of God, seeking answers from Him. And maybe looking at these mockers and scoffers that throw this up in your face is really a blessing from God, because it makes you go back to the Holy Word and search the Scriptures. The question that you can't answer, pray for it. That's the opening for next time you talk to that person. I'll check it out. I'll get back to you. That's a blessing. All of these things work together for good to them that love God. And God, your gracious Savior, will either give you the answer or give you the wisdom to come back and say, God's word doesn't say. And sometimes that's the major breakthrough when you're honest and can say, I don't know, but God knows. See, that's true worship, when it's all about God and not about us. And not about all our solutions, and it's all God. God is all there is. In Him we live and move and have our being. And true worship worships God. So that's where Daniel is right now. Daniel in chapter 7 is a few years before God will deliver him from the lion's den. But this is a bureaucrat. He's one of those government officials that moves from one empire like the Babylonian Empire to the next one, and God gave Daniel so much wisdom, and now Daniel is having night visions. These aren't bad dreams. These are visions at night where God allows him to see history in very spectacular ways. Sometimes this is called apocryphal literature. Have you heard that term before? The Apocalypse of John. Apocryphal literature, apocalypse. We're not talking about the Apocrypha here, but the apocalypse, apocalyptic, I should say. Apocalyptic literature is these fantastic pictures that God is using to show something in the physical world that's going on also in the spiritual world. So he's revealing it to us earthlings. So Daniel has just seen in his night visions a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a fourth beast. Very fierce and powerful, scary. And then a little horn with a big mouth and a bad attitude. Some religious ruler. And as time goes on, and historians have looked back at this, we're very clearly seeing the lion, Babylonian Empire, the bear, the Persian Empire, the leopard with wings across the world like Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire, the fourth beast, crushing, powerful, iron Roman Empire, the boastful, the mouth speaking against God, setting himself up in the church, specifically Antiochus Epiphanes, tried to destroy the Christian religion and Jewish religion before Christ even came in Jerusalem, and the Antichrist in Rome, speaking against all those who trust in Christ alone as their Savior. Boastful mouth. I'll say what is and what isn't. That's the boasting. It's going on. And Daniel is permitted to see that in night visions and come into the throne room of God, who is called the Ancient of Days. That was in our hymn just a minute ago. The Ancient of Days, whose hair or his clothing is as white as snow, hair on his head white as wool, his throne flaming fire and the wheels all ablaze. A throne with wheels on it? All ablaze. A river of fire flowing, coming from him, thousands upon thousands of 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated. The books were opened. Daniel's looking at Judgment Day. And before he came to that, he was able to see how this Almighty One on the throne destroyed his enemies in blazing fire and stripped those empires of all their power and strength. And some people think the Bible is boring. Wow. Just think of what he's saying here. Daniel is looking with wide-eyed wonder and seeing all this along. And in the Hebrew, he keeps saying, look, look, look. He's trying to bring us along. Look at this, look at that, look at that. And now look at your king. Our text. In my night vision, he says, I kept looking. I couldn't stop. I kept watching the night visions. And there in the clouds, I saw one like a son of man coming. He came to the Ancient of Days and was brought before him. Now, if you think that is the Christ, the Messiah, you're right. Do you realize that Jesus preferred this name for himself, Son of Man, more than calling himself the Son of God? There were occasions of that too every time he called God his Father. But he used the title Son of Man to bring our minds back to this prophecy of the King coming, that Messiah. And also to relate with you and me in the tragedies of our lives, our difficulties, so that we would see there our King who is right with us in all our trials and tribulations, so that we go through, I say through, many hardships to come to the kingdom of God. We're not meant to stay here. It's through those hardships that we follow Christ our King. So Jesus loved that term, Son of God, Son of Man, and that's how he refers to himself, and he's the one who was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. Sometimes we overspeak it when we say that Adam and Eve were given dominion over God's creation. If you look closely in Genesis there, it actually says over the animals, the birds, the fish, and so forth. Human beings could never control the climate. Otherwise, the flood would never have happened, right? They can't control the storms, the winds. It blows wherever it pleases, Jesus says. That's how the Holy Spirit is. He blows wherever he pleases, brings life where he comes. But the dominion and the honor and the kingdom are given to Jesus, ascended to God's right hand and ruling all things. And who are you going to believe? You know, the Chinese will ask the question every once in a while, because in their communist-controlled churches and the government and everything, they're all into atheism and evolution and so forth. And they'll ask these questions about, you know, how do you, and really it comes down to who are you going to believe? The religious authorities or theologians or scientists who have only one breath left and one heartbeat if God gives it to them. Name all the famous scientists you want. They're either dead or dying. There's only one living. Only one who can say what is and what was and what is to come and make it happen. True worship doesn't have all the answers. We worship the God who does. True worship worships the God who does have all the answers, and it all turns and spins around Christ. Even in his Great Commission, where Jesus says, I will be with you all the days to the gathered goal of the age. I picture a funnel there or a cyclone, and everything is coming down because it literally says to the gathered goal of the age. It's there in Christ. And when he comes again, then the last trumpet will sound. And you know him. You love him who loved you first. True worship always comes with Christ, and it always spreads God's kingdom. What a strange, strange king we worship. Did you catch that from the gospel lesson from John chapter 18? When you stop and think about it, I mean, just be merciful, Christians, and stop and think about how hard it would be to believe this if all you had was your mind and your intelligence. If you didn't have the gift of faith from God the Holy Spirit, how would you possibly worship a bloodied rabbi who's beaten and standing there before the Roman governor? Daniel saw it coming in the fourth beast, the fierce one. That's the Roman Empire. Pontius Pilate is a governor in Judea for the Roman Empire. But that was even controlled by the Lord. Remember that, kids? There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph and Mary also went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It was their city. This Emperor Augustus, who claimed to be God, gives a decree, and the whole world, the whole empire, is moving so that one virgin can go to the city proclaimed by God and have the king, who will grow up to be beaten bloody on his way to the crucifixion, and have this governor in all his pomp and power demanding to know, "Are you a king? My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to keep me from being arrested by the Jews. My kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then." "You're right. Saying I am a king. That's why I was born. That's why I came into this world, to witness to the truth." Do you remember what Pilate said next? That famous question? "What is truth?" Don't we live in a culture that's demanding the answer to that one over and over again? "Your truth is different than my truth." And they'll give you that condescending look if you try to share these things with them. "Well, that's good for you. That's fine." It's like they want to pat you on the head and send you on your way to suck on your thumb and play with your toys, because they really look down on you. And Jesus says, that's all right. That just proves that you're my children. They hated me first. They're going to hate you. What do you expect? This is the world you live in. It was that way when they crucified our Lord. Why do we keep thinking it's going to be different? We worship the king. We share his word because his word is so powerful. His word can destroy kingdoms. Who was the modern figure who was going to set up the Babylonian captivity again after it was destroyed so long ago? Does the name Saddam Hussein ring a bell? Oh, all those missiles that were supposedly going to be launched from North Korea to rattle windows and hearts in the West. You can't hit anything unless God allows your rockets to go off and be hit. So it goes. Or then you have this massive military machine and all this engineering going on and conquering the world, and nobody can stand before those armies. But the Führer is so paranoid, he can't listen to his generals because he's got all the answers. And historians can trace the fall of the Nazi Empire. And God is in charge. How many shots did it take to put down the Soviet Union? Zero. God is in charge. No nation can long endure that stands in defiance of God. A nation that determines that God's gift of marriage is not what God said marriage is, we better be on our knees, good Christians. The way God tells the story, Daniel's prayers and the prayers of the people in those days and his people today, your prayers, your faith, trusting in Jesus the King, is so precious you can't begin to imagine unless God tells you. He listens to us in our prayers. Remember what Jesus said, when you see all these storms and all this wrath of God coming down on our nation. Not an accident. But don't stand there like a Pharisee and call it wrath of God as if you're not getting it, therefore. Because Jesus said, when you see these things, remember, repent, or you too will perish. That's the lesson in natural disasters for those who are involved in true worship. Then we can go and help those who have losses. We can have a real heart for them and pray to God to be merciful to them as he's been so merciful to us. He hears our prayers. Some of you, every now and then when you're traveling, I will send an email and wish you the Lord's blessings and like to sign it, Traveling Mercies. I want to read a paragraph from Chaplain Phil Merton, a few years ahead of me in school. But prayers of God's people, compassion. We have LIMA here, Lutheran Institutional Ministry Association. They have WELIM in the Milwaukee area. And this is what Phil Merton wrote back in 2006. Nearly every time I conduct a Bible class at Racine Correctional Institute, somebody will pray at the end of the class for traveling mercies for Brother Phil. I usually take those prayers for granted. God does not. One night last summer, as I left the prison and got back on my motorcycle to ride home, the rain started. No big deal, I thought. I've ridden in rain before. And then it really started pouring. As I turned onto the freeway, the downpour was so strong I could not see the road. I tried following taillights, but often I would lose them. Finally, I pulled off the highway at a gas station and sat down under the canopy. I caught my breath and wondered what to do next as the rain kept pouring down. Someone hollered, "Hey, are you heading for Milwaukee?" I turned, and there was a guy with an empty motorcycle trailer behind his car. He took me and my bike to the front door of my house. That's known as traveling mercies. And that's the kind of thing that happens when you pray to a God who loves answering his people's prayers. If you have not yet had the answer that you seek, keep praying. True worship is stubborn with your Heavenly Father, but always thy will be done, because your Heavenly Father may have a better idea. Let it rain, let it pour, so that I can give you another way home. And God's people continue to praise him. Why is it that we want to listen to God? Why do we want to hear our King Jesus, the Word of God in human flesh, speaking to us on the pages of Scriptures? One big reason is because God loves to listen to us. For Jesus' sake, he's taken away every reason to turn away, every reason to be afraid. And every time you go through another difficulty and another trial, you come out on the other side and you can say, God is faithful. And even if you can't figure it out at that point, heaven brings a sweeter rest. Ah, that we know. At my cousin's funeral, one of the younger cousins that died of cancer, the pastor said she wanted Psalm 103 as her funeral text. And I read it with her, and it was, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." And I thought to myself, does she not know that she's terminal? And then I realized, this is resurrection faith. Resurrection faith of God's people is absolutely confident in his mercy and his grace, because the King shed his blood for his people. The King suffered God's justice so that you and I could have the absolute confidence that now in Christ, God's justice is on our side. God cannot condemn you for a single sin, no matter how bad it may seem, how dreadful it may be. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And when God says all, he means all. He would be dishonoring his own Son, our King, if ever he had one sin outstanding that was not forgiven. Trust in Jesus. Then it's yours. By faith, the hand that receives it. And you and I, in true worship then, have the freedom to spread God's word and let God's word do the work on people's heart. We don't convert anybody. Only God's word can convert. And you just put it out there. And if it's a question you can't answer, go for another opportunity. I'll get back to you on that one. That's what you're praying for. The time of your life is just the beginning. The time forever with God is forever. Our everlasting King, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his own blood and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father, to him be the glory and the power forever. Amen.